May God bless our meditation on his word for us this morning as we celebrate Epiphany, and that the light of the world has been revealed to us. I've got a game for us to play this morning. It should be easy for you. I have three pictures to share with you, and yet the pictures are concealed to begin with. And all you need to do is you need to tell me what the whole picture is of. But don't worry. You'll have a clue, you'll have a sliver to go off of. And so, like I said, it will be easy. So, here is the first one. All right, what's this? Someone is holding something, aren't they? But what is it? What is this a picture of? An apple. Someone holding an apple. Well, let's see. No, it's actually a frog with a birthday hat on an apple. So that is incorrect. I'm sorry. It was a good guess, but incorrect. All right, one down. There's two more to go, though. Okay, what about this? You got a sliver in the middle of this picture. What does that look like? It looks like a sunset and maybe some water and I don't know, maybe on the beach, right? A sunset on a beach, of course. That's got to be what this picture is. Oh, no, it's giraffes wearing vests with sunglasses on the beach. I'm sorry, that also is incorrect. Well, all right, 0-2, but there's always a chance for one more. And here's your last chance, your third one today. This one, I'll go easier. Here's a big clue, right? That looks like a downtown area. Downtown, maybe Main Street. That could even be in Zanesville, Ohio. That's what this is, right? That's what this picture is. Let's see. Oh, well, not so much. A spaceship landing in the downtown area. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Pastor, that's crazy. How would I ever have known the answers to any of those questions? How would I ever have known about the frog with the party hat, or the giraffes with the vests, or the spaceship hovering over Main Street? How would I have known unless you revealed it to me? You know, you're right. These answers aren't common knowledge. You weren't able to figure them out some other way. The only way you would know the answers as if I revealed them to you. And that is exactly what Epiphany is about. Today is the last day of Christmas, and tomorrow is Epiphany, the day that we remember the Magi's visit to see Jesus, and the season where we celebrate that the light of the world has come to us, and that God has revealed himself to us in Jesus. You know, there are a number of biblical misconceptions that are prevalent in our world. Some people think that John the Baptist was actually a Baptist. But in fact, he was called that because he was all about baptizing people. Many other people think that Adam and Eve disobeyed God by biting into an apple in the Garden of Eden, but all the Bible tells us is that they ate a fruit that was pleasing to the eye and a fruit that God had commanded them not to eat. One other common misconception is that the wise men from Matthew's gospel were actually wise. But that is likely not true either. You know, in popular culture, the wise men of the nativity story are seen as pretty smart guys, aren't they? They are viewed as wise and learned men. They are thought of as kings or rulers. They are remembered as guys who knew what was up and who sought after the truth. If anyone could have figured out the answers to those questions at the beginning of the message, it would have been the wise men, right? But in fact, it wouldn't have been. They would have had just as much trouble as you and I would. For believe it or not, the wise men of Matthew's gospel weren't actually all that wise. Instead, they are more accurately described as pagan fools. The clue for us comes in the name that they are given in Scripture, Magi. The Magi weren't learned men at all, and they weren't kings either. Rather, they were likely kings' assistants at best. In the widely popular television show The Office, the character of Dwight Schrute famously wants to incessantly remind his co-workers that he is the assistant regional manager and that everyone should thus listen to him. But if you've seen the show before, you know that the only problem is, as Dwight's boss Michael Scott reminds him time and time again, is that Dwight is not the assistant regional manager, but rather he's the assistant to the regional manager. What a difference a small preposition makes. And the same is true with the Magi. These guys weren't kings or assistant kings. Rather, they were assistants to kings. They were likely astrologers or diviners. They were people who practiced magic, thus the name Magi. They were employed by kings to make predictions from looking up at the stars. They were called on by kings to predict the future. But did they always know of what they spoke? Not hardly. Sometimes they guessed right. Sometimes they guessed wrong. But these men weren't wise and knowing. They didn't have all the answers. In fact, they would have been completely in the dark about Jesus if the news about him hadn't been revealed to them. Biblical scholar Mark Allen Powell writes this about these not-so-wise guys. He says, "The Magi are not wise men whose learning leads them to Christ, but rather they are ignorant people to whom God reveals the Christ." And we have plenty of evidence of this with the Magi. For even though they knew that the king was born, they were unable to find him without being guided by a divinely appointed star from heaven. And even with following the star, guess what they had to do? They still had to stop and ask for directions. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, that's magi in the Greek, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." So the Magi follow a star, but they still have to ask for directions. And King Herod doesn't know the answer either. He has to go and ask all of the chief priests and the scribes. And where do they go to get their answer? They go to the prophets, to the Old Testament scriptures. They go to the Bible. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." All of this had to be revealed to the Magi. And when they arrived at Jesus, the Magi's gifts show us that they were in the dark. The gifts that they brought for Jesus, gold and frankincense and myrrh, they were not given in some expert knowledge of who Jesus was or what would happen to him. Rather, they were simply gifts that were fit for a king, an earthly king, which shows us how little the Magi themselves knew about Jesus too. Imagine if you went to a baby shower and you brought gifts for the new baby boy, not gifts of clothes or toys or diaper pails, but of power tools and work gloves and golf clubs. Everyone at the shower would look at you like you had no clue about who you were coming to celebrate. And the same is true for the Magi. They brought gifts fit for a king, but they were completely in the dark about who this king was or who this king would be. And finally, after their trip and after their visit, even then, the Magi would have unknowingly enabled Herod to kill the baby Jesus. But the Bible tells us this, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So don't be confused. The Magi are not wise men, but they are ignorant people to whom God graciously reveals to them the Christ. On their own, they would have been in the dark. On their own, they would have always and forever been asking for directions. On their own, they never would have known or seen or believed in Jesus. And the Magi, they aren't alone in that description. For Matthew's gospel is actually full of people just like that. How about Joseph? Joseph doesn't know God's plan of salvation. He doesn't know why his unwed wife is suddenly pregnant until the angel comes and reveals the truth to him. How about Jerusalem and its chief priests and scribes? They should have known from the Old Testament about the birth of the Messiah, but they were in the dark as well until God led unknowing magi from the east to come and reveal it to them. And elsewhere in Scripture, we see the same truth playing out. How did Peter know and confess clearly the work of the Christ? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." How did Peter know who Jesus was? It was revealed to him. And Jesus confirms that this is true for each and every one of us as well. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." How did the wise men know about Jesus? How did Joseph know about Jesus? How did the people in the New Testament learn about Jesus? How do you and I know anything at all about Jesus? It's only because God has revealed it to us through his love and grace. The people who know this aren't the wise and understanding, but rather those who, like little children, trust and believe in what has been revealed to them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what the season of Epiphany is all about. God revealing to us his Son, the light of the world, shining into our darkness and illuminating our lives through the knowledge of him. And how do we know? How in the world could we ever know about and understand and believe in the God of the universe unless he reveals himself to us? But God in his grace does just that. He opens our eyes and he plants faith in our hearts. He reveals to us the depth of his mercy towards us through his word, through Jesus' crucifixion and death on the cross. And God shows us his heart. God reveals to us his love. In him we know. In him we believe. In him we have the promise of light and life forevermore. So how then should we respond to Jesus' gracious revelation in our lives? Well, I think we probably put the Magi down enough for one sermon. So perhaps we should also see that despite their faults, once God graciously revealed his Son to them, how did the Magi respond? They responded in faith. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we thank and praise God for all that he has done for us in Christ, and for the fact that he has revealed it all to us through his word? We should also seek to follow Jesus as he leads us, and that's not through astrology, that's not through our own knowledge, but rather it's through the truth that we find in God's word. And as the Bible assures us, that is what ultimately makes us wise, faith in God's promises. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And finally, then, just as God used the Magi to reveal what they had seen and witnessed to others, so too may God use us to reveal his saving truth to the people that he has placed around us in our lives of faith, so that they might know and so that they might worship Jesus too. So I admit, hand up, the introduction to the message today, it wasn't really fair, was it? You had no chance to ever be able to correctly identify any of those pictures. And the same is true for us and Jesus. You and I would never know anything about him at all unless God chose to reveal to us the truth of Christ. Thanks be to God that he has done that for us through his word. Thanks be to God that he continues to do that for us through our lives of faith. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.